merely smiled at her suspicion of his impaired judgment.
You should go eat. Take your new husband. I will send someone for you when I find the chicken that is not a chicken.
It did sound like a good idea, and she saw Richard heading in their direction. Kaylin clasped the birdman's arm in mute appreciation. It had taken the whole afternoon to gather the chickens. Both structures reserved for evil spirits and a third empty building were needed to house all the birds. Nearly the entire village had joined in the grave cause. It had been a lot of work. The children had proven invaluable. Fired by responsibility in such an important village-wide effort, they had revealed all the places the chickens hid and roosted. The hunters gently gathered all the chickens. Even though it was a barred rock, the birdman had at first pointed out, the same striated breed Richard chased out when they went to see Zed, the same breed, Richard said, had waited above the door while they'd been in to see Junie. An extensive search had been conducted. They were confident every chicken was housed in one of the three buildings. As he cut a straight line through the chickens, Richard smiled briefly in greeting to the birdman, but his eyes never joined in. As Richard's gaze met hers, Kaylin slipped her fingers up his arm to snug around the bulge of muscle, glad to touch him despite her exasperation. The birdman says he hasn't yet found the chicken you want, but he will keep searching, and there are still the two other buildings full of them. He suggested we go get something to eat, and he will send someone when he sees your chicken. Richard started for the door. He won't find it here. What do you mean? How do you know? I have to go check the other two places. If she was only annoyed, Richard looked frantic at not finding what he wanted. Kaylin imagined that he must feel his word was at stake. Back near the door, Anne and Zed waited, silently observing the search, letting Richard have the leeway to look all he wanted, to do as he thought necessary. Richard paused, combing his fingers back through his thick hair. Do either of you know of a book called Mountain's Twin? Zed held his chin as he peered up at the underside of the grass roof in earnest recollection.
Can't say as I do, my boy.
Anne, too, seemed to consider her mental inventory for a time.
No, I've not heard of it.
Richard took a last look at the dusty room packed with chickens and muttered a curse under his breath. Zed scratched his ear.
What's in this book, my boy?
If Richard heard the question over the background of bird babble, he didn't let on and he didn't answer.
I have to go look at the rest of the chickens.
I could ask Verna and Warren for you if it's important.
Anne drew a small black book from her pocket, drawing to Richard's gaze.
Warren might know of it.
Richard had told Kaylin that the book Anne carried and was now flashing at him, called a journey book, retained ancient magic. Journey books were paired. Any message written in it appeared simultaneously in its twin. The Sisters of the Light used the little books to communicate when they went on long journeys, such as when they had come to the New World to take Richard back to the Palace of the Prophets. Richard brightened at her suggestion.
Please, yes, it's important.
He started for the door again. I've got to go.
I'm going to check on the woman who lost the baby, Zed told Anne. Help her get some rest.
Richard, Kaylin called. Don't you want to eat?
As she was speaking, Richard gestured for her to come along, but was through the door and gone before she finished the question. Zed followed his grandson out, shrugging his perplexity back at the two women. Kaylin growled and started after Richard.
It must be like a fanciful children's story come to life for you, for a confessor to marry for love, Anne commented while remaining rooted to the spot where she had been for the last hour.
Kaylin turned back to the woman.
Well, yes, it is.
Anne smiled up with sincere warmth.
I'm so happy for you, child. Being able to have such a wonderful thing as a husband you dearly love come into your life.
Kaylin's fingers lingered on the lever of the closed door.
It still leaves me utterly astonished at times.
It must be disappointing when your new husband seems to have more important things to attend to than his new wife, when he seems to be ignoring you.
Anne pursed her lips.
Especially on your very first day being his wife.
Ah,
Kaylin released the lever and clasped both hands loosely behind her back.
So that's why Zed left. We are to have a woman-to-woman talk, are we?
Anne chuckled.
Oh, but how I do love it when men I respect marry smart women. Nothing marks a man's character better than his attraction to intelligence.
Kaylin sighed as she leaned a shoulder against the wall.
I know Richard, and I know he's not trying my patience deliberately. But this is our first day married,
I somehow thought it would be different than this. This chasing imaginary chicken monsters. I think he's so worried about protecting me, he's inventing trouble. Anne's tone turned sympathetic.
Richard loves you dearly. I know he is worried, though I don't understand his reasoning. Richard bears great responsibility.
Sympathy evaporated from her voice.
We all are called upon to make sacrifices where Richard is concerned.
The woman pretended to watch the chickens.
In this very village, before the snow came, Kaelin said in a careful, level tone, I gave Richard over to your sisters of the light in the hope you could save his life, even though I knew doing so could very well end my future with him. I had to make him think I had betrayed him in order to get him to go with the sisters. Do you even have any idea?
Kaelin made herself stop, lest she needlessly dredge up painful memories. Everything had turned out well. She and Richard were together at last. That was what mattered.
I know, Anne whispered. You do not have to prove yourself to me. But since it was I who ordered him brought to us, perhaps I must prove myself to you.
The woman had surely picked the peg Kaelin wanted pounded, but she kept her response civil anyway.
What do you mean? Those wizards of so very long ago created the Palace of the Prophets. I lived at the palace, under its unique spell, for over 900 years. There, 500 years before it was to happen, Nathan the prophet foretold the birth of a war wizard. There, together, we worked on the books of prophecy down in the palace vaults, trying to understand this pebble yet to be dropped into the pond, trying to foresee the ripples this event might cause.
Kaelin folded her arms.
From my experience, I would say prophecy may be far more occluding than revealing.
Anne chortled.
I am acquainted with sisters hundreds of years your senior who have yet to understand that much about prophecy.
Her voice turned wistful as she went on.
I traveled to see Richard when he was newborn life, newborn soul, glimmering into the world. His mother was so astonished, so grateful for the balance of such a magnificent gift come of such brutality as had been inflicted upon her by Darkin Rawl. She was a remarkable woman, not to pass bitterness and resentment on to her child. She was so proud of Richard, so filled with dreams and hope for him. When Richard was that newborn life, suckling at his mother's breast, Nathan and I took Richard's stepfather to recover the Book of Counted Shadows, so when Richard was grown he might have the knowledge to save himself from the beast who had raped his mother and given him life.
Anne glanced up with a wry smile.
Prophecy, you see.
Richard told me.
Kaelin looked back at the birdman, concentrating on the chickens pecking at the ground.
Richard is the one come at last, a war wizard. The prophecies do not say if he will succeed, but he is the one born to the battle to keep the grace intact, as it were. Such faith, though, sometimes requires great spiritual effort.
Why? If he is the one for whom you waited, the one you wanted.
Anne cleared her throat and seemed to gather her thoughts. Kaelin thought she saw tears in the woman's eyes.
He destroyed the Palace of the Prophets. Because of Richard, Nathan escaped. Nathan is dangerous. He is the one, after all, who told you the names of the chimes. That perilously rash act could have brought us all to ruin.
It saved Richard's life, Kaelin pointed out.
If Nathan hadn't told me the names of the chimes, Richard would be dead.
Then your pebble would be at the bottom of the pond, out of your reach and no help to anyone.
True enough, Anne admitted,
reluctantly, thought Kaelin. Kaelin fussed with a button as she began to imagine Anne's side of it.
It must have been hard to bear seeing Richard destroying the palace, destroying your home.
Along with the palace, he also destroyed its spell. The Sisters of the Light will now age as does everyone else. At the palace, I would have lived perhaps another 100 years. The sisters there would have lived many hundreds of years more. Now I am but an old woman near the end of my time. Richard took those hundreds of years from me, from all the sisters.
Kaelin remained silent, not knowing what to say.
The future of everyone may one day depend on him, Anne finally said. We must put that ahead of ourselves. That is why I helped him destroy the palace. That is why I follow the man who has seemingly destroyed my life's work. Because my life's true work is that man's fight, not my own narrow interests.
Halen hooked a strand of damp hair behind her ear. You talk about Richard as if he's a tool newly forged for your use. He is a man who wants to do what's right, but he has his own wants and needs too. His life is his to live, not yours or anyone else's to plan for him, according to what you found in dusty old books.
You misunderstand. That is precisely his value, his instincts, his curiosity, his heart.
Anne tapped her temple.
His mind. Our aim is not to direct, but to follow, even if it is painful to tread the path down which he takes us.
Halen knew the truth of that. Richard had destroyed the alliance that had joined the lands of the Midlands for thousands of years. As Mother Confessor, Halen presided over the council, and thus the Midlands. Under her watch as Mother Confessor, the Midlands had fallen to Richard as Lord Rahl of Dahara. At least the lands which had so far surrendered to him. She knew the benevolence of his actions and the need for them, but it certainly had been a painful path to follow. Richard's bold action, though, was the only way of truly uniting all the lands into one force that had any hope of standing against the tyranny of the Imperial Order. Now they trod that new path together, hand in hand, united in purpose and resolve. Halen folded her arms again and leaned back against the wall, watching the stupid chickens.
If it is your intent, then, to make me feel guilty for my selfish wishes about my first day with my new husband, you have succeeded. But I can't help it.
Anne gently gripped Kalin's arm.
No, child, that is not my intent. I understand how Richard's actions can sometimes be exasperating. I ask only that you be patient and allow him to do as he thinks he must. He is not ignoring you to be contrary, but doing as his nature demands. However, his love for you has the power to distract him from what he must do. You must not interfere by asking that he abandon his task when he otherwise would not.
I know, Halen sighed.
But chickens, there is something wrong with magic.
Halen frowned down at the old sorceress.
What do you mean?
Anne shrugged.
I am not sure. Zed and I believe we have detected a change in our magic. It is a subtle thing to endeavor to discern. Have you noticed any change in your ability?
In a cold flash of panic, Halen wheeled her thoughts inward. It was hard to imagine a subtle difference in her confessor's magic. It simply was. The core of the power within and her restraint on it seemed comfortingly familiar. Although, Halen recoiled from that dark curtain of conjecture. Magic was ethereal enough as it was. Through artifice, a wizard had once gulled her into thinking her power gone, when, in fact, it had never left her. Believing him had nearly cost Halen her life. She survived only because she realized in time that she still had her power and could use it to save herself.
No, it's the same, Halen said. I've learned it's easy to mislead yourself into believing your magic is waning. It's probably nothing. You're just worried, that's all.
True enough. But Zed thinks it would be wise to let Richard do as Richard does. That Richard believes on his own, without our knowledge of magic, that there is grave trouble of some sort, lends credence to our suspicions. If true, then he is already farther in this than are we. We can but follow.
Anne returned the gnarled hand to Kalin's arm.
I would ask you not to badger him with your understandable desire to have him pay court to you. I ask that you allow him to do what he must do.
Pay court, indeed. Halen simply wanted to hold his hand, to hug him, to kiss him, to smile at him and have him smile back. The next day they needed to return to Adendril. Soon the thorn of mystery over Juni's death would be shed for more important concerns. They had Emperor Jagang and the war to worry about. She simply wished she and Richard could have one day to themselves.
I understand.
Halen stared out at the clucking, churning throng of stupid chickens.
I'll try not to meddle.
Anne nodded without joy at having gotten what she wanted. Outside, in the gloom of nightfall, Kara paced. By her chafed expression, Halen guessed Richard had ordered the Mord Sith to remain behind and guard his new wife. That was the one order inviolate for Kara, one order even Halen could not invalidate for the woman.
Come on, Helen said as she tramped past Kara. Let's go see how Richard is doing in his search.
Helen was discontent to find the miserable rain still coming down. If it wasn't falling as hard as before, it was just as cold, and it wouldn't be long before she was just as wet.
He didn't go that way, Kara called out.
Helen turned along with Anne to see Kara still standing where she had been pacing. Helen lifted a thumb over her shoulder in the direction of the other house for evil spirits.
I thought he wanted to go see the rest of the chickens. He started toward the other two buildings but changed his mind, Kara pointed. He went off in that direction.
Why?
He didn't say. He told me to remain here and wait for you.
Kara started out through the rain.
Come, I will take you to him.
You know where to find him? Helen realized it was a foolish question before she had finished it.
Of course, I am bonded to Lord Rawl. I always know where he is.
Helen found it disquieting the way the Mordsith could sense Richard's proximity, like mother hens with a chick. Helen was envious, too. She pressed a hand to Anne's back, urging her along, lest they be left behind in the dark.
How long have you and Zed had this suspicion about something being wrong?
Helen whispered to the squat sorceress, only implying that she meant what Anne had told her about there being something wrong with the magic. Anne kept her head bowed, watching where she was walking in the near darkness.
We noticed it first last night. Though it is a difficult thing to quantify or confirm, we did a few simple tests. They did not conclusively verify our impression. It's a bit like trying to say if you can see as far as you could yesterday. You telling her about our speculation that our magic might be weakening?
Helen started at the familiar voice suddenly coming from behind.
Yes,
Anne said over her shoulder as they followed Kara around a corner, sounding as if she wasn't at all surprised that Zed had come up behind them.
How was the woman?
Zed sighed.
Despondent. I tried to calm and comfort her, but I didn't seem to have as much luck as I thought I might.
Zed, Helen interrupted.
Are you saying you're sure there is trouble? That's a serious assertion. Well, no, I'm not asserting anything.
The three of them bumped into Kara when she halted unexpectedly in the dark. Kara stood stock still, staring off into rainy nothingness. At last she growled under her breath and pushed at their shoulders, turning them around.
Wrong way, she grumbled. Back this way.
Kara pushed and prodded them back to the corner and then led them the other way. It was nearly impossible to see where they were going. Helen wiped wet hair from her face. She didn't see anyone else out in the foul weather. In the whispering rain, with Kara out in front and Zed and Anne carrying on a hushed conversation several paces behind, Helen felt alone and forlorn. The rain and darkness must have confused Kara, perceiving Richard's location by her bond to him. She had to backtrack several times.
How much farther? Helen asked.
Not far,
was all Kara had to offer. As she slogged through the passageways turned quagmire, mud had found its way into Kaelin's boots. She grimaced at the feel of the cold slime squeezing between her toes with each step. She dearly wished she could wash out her boots. She was cold, wet, tired, and muddy, all because Richard feared there was some stupid, evil spirit chicken monster on the loose. She recalled with longing the warm bath of that morning and wished she were there again. Remembering Junie's death, she reconsidered. There were worse problems than her selfish wish for warmth. If Zed and Anne were right about the magic. They reached the open area in the center of the village. The living shadow that was Kara halted. Rain drummed on roofs to run in rills from eaves, spattered mud, and splashed in puddles made of every footstep. The Mordsith lifted an arm and pointed.
There!
Kaelin squinted, trying to see through the drizzle of rain. She felt Zed press close at her right and Anne at her left. Kara, off to the side just a bit, with the manifest vision of her bond, watched Richard, while the rest of them scanned the darkness trying to spot what she saw. It was the diminutive fire that suddenly caught Kaelin's attention. Petite, languid flames licked up into the wet air. That it burned at all was astonishing. It appeared to be a remnant of their wedding bonfire. Impossibly, in the day-long downpour, this tiny refuge of their sacred ceremony survived. Richard stood before the fire, watching it. Helen could just make out his towering contour. The knife edge of his golden cloak lifted in the wind, reflecting sparkles of the miraculous firelight. She could see raindrops splattering on the toe of his boot as he used it to nudge the fire. The flames grew as high as his knee as he stirred whatever was still burning in all the rain. The wind whipped the flames around in a fiery gamble, red and yellow arms swaying and waving, prancing and fluttering, undulating in a spellbinding dance of hot light amid the cold, dark rain. Richard snuffed the fire. Kalin almost cursed him.
"Centrosi,"
he murmured, grinding his boot to smother the embers. The chill wind lifted a glowing spark upward. Richard tried to snatch it in his fist, but the kernel of radiance on the wings of a gust evaded him to disappear into the murky night.
"Bags," Zed muttered in a surly voice. "That boy finds a pocket of rock pitch still burning in an old log, and he's ready to believe the impossible."
Civility fled Anne's voice.
"We have more important things to do than to entertain the cockamamie conjecture of the uneducated."
Aggravated and in agreement, Zed wiped a hand across his face.
"It could be a thousand and one things, and he's settled on the one, because he's never heard of the other thousand."
Anne shook a finger up at Zed.
"That boy's ignorance is..."
"That's one of the three chimes," Kalin said, cutting Anne off.
"What does it mean?"
Both Zed and Anne turned and stared at her, as if they had forgotten she was still there with them.
"It's not important," Anne insisted. "The point is, we have consequential matters which require attention, and the boy is wasting time worrying about the chimes."
"What is the meaning of the word?" Zed cleared his throat, warning Kalin not to speak aloud the name of the second chime. Kalin's brow drew down as she leaned toward the old wizard.
"What does it mean?"
"Fire,"
he said at last. Chapter 9. Kalin up and rubbed her eyes as thunder boomed outside. The storm sounded rekindled. She squinted, trying to see in the dim light. Richard wasn't beside her. She didn't know what time of night it was, but they'd gotten to bed late. She sensed it was the middle of darkness, nowhere near morning. She decided Richard must have gone outside to relieve himself. Heavy rain against the roof made it sound as if she were under a waterfall. On their first visit, Richard had used the spirit house to teach the mud people how to make tile roofs that wouldn't leak in the rain as did their grass roofs. So this was probably the driest structure in the entire village. People had been enthralled by the idea of roofs that didn't leak. She imagined it wouldn't be too many years before the entire village was converted from grass roofs to tile. She, for one, was grateful for the dry sanctuary. Kalin hoped Richard was starting to simmer down now that they knew there was nothing sinister in Junie's death. He'd had his look at every chicken in the village, as had the birdman, and neither man had found a chicken that wasn't a chicken, or a feathered monster of any sort, for that matter. The issue was settled. In the morning, the men would turn the flocks loose. Zed and Anne were not at all happy with Richard. If Richard really believed the burning pitch pocket was a chime, a thing from the underworld, then just what in creation did he suppose he was going to do with it if he caught it in his fist? Richard hadn't thought of that, or else kept silent for fear of giving Zed more reason to think him lacking in good sense. At least Zed was not cruel in his lengthy lecturing on some of the innumerable possible causes for recent events. It leaned more toward educating than castigating, though there was a bit of the latter. Richard Rawl, the master of the Daharan Empire, the man to whom kings and queens bowed, the man to whom nations had surrendered, stood mute as his grandfather paced back and forth, admonishing, preaching, and teaching, at times speaking as first wizard, at times as Richard's grandfather, and at times as his friend. Kalin knew Richard respected Zed too much to say anything. If Zed was disappointed, then so be it. Before they'd retired for the night, Anne told them she'd received a reply in her journey book. Verna and Warren knew the book Richard had asked about, Mountain's Twin. Verna wrote that it was a book of prophecy mostly, but had been in Jigang's possession. At Nathan's instructions, she and Warren had destroyed it, along with all the other books Nathan named, except the Book of Inversion and Duplex, which Jigang didn't have. When they had finally gotten to bed, Richard seemed sullen, or at least distracted with inner thoughts. He was in no mood to make love to her. The truth be known, after the day they'd had, she wasn't unhappy about it. Kalin sighed. Their second night together, and they were in no mood to be intimate. How many times had she ached for the chance to be with him? Kalin flopped back down, pressing a hand over her weary eyes. She wished Richard would hurry and come back to bed before she fell asleep. She wanted to kiss him, at least. and tell him she knew he was only doing as he thought best, doing what he thought right, and to tell him she didn't think him foolish for it. She hadn't been angry, really. She'd simply wanted to be with him, not out in the rain all day collecting chickens. She wanted to tell him she loved him. She turned on her side toward his missing form to wait. Her eyelids drooped, and she had to force them open. When she went to put a hand over the blanket where he belonged, she realized he'd put his half of the blanket over her. Why would he do that if he would be right back? Kaylin sat up. She rubbed her eyes again. In the dim light from the small fire, she saw that his clothes were gone. It had been a long day. They hadn't gotten much sleep the night before. Why would he be out in the rain in the middle of the night? They needed sleep. In the morning, they had to leave. They had to get back to Adendrill. Morning. They were leaving in the morning. He had until then. Kaylin growled as she scurried across the floor to their things. He was out looking for proof of some sort. She knew he was. Something to show them he wasn't being foolish. She groped through her pack until her fingers found her little candle holder. It had a conical roof, so it would stay dry and burn in the rain. She retrieved a long splinter from beside the hearth, lit it in the fire, and then lit the candle. She closed the little glass door to keep the wind from blowing out the flame. The holder and candle were diminutive and didn't provide much light, but it was the best she had and better than nothing on a pitch-black night in the rain. Kaylin yanked her damp shirt from the pole Richard had set up beside the fire. The touch of cold, wet cloth against her flesh as she poked her arms through the sleeves sent a shuddering ache through her shoulders. She was going to give her new husband a lecture of her own. She would insist he come back to bed and put his arms dutifully around her until she was once again warm. It was his fault she was already shivering. Grimacing, she drew her frigid, soggy pants up her bare legs. What proof could he be going to look for? The chicken? Drying her hair by the fire, before bed, Kaylin had asked him why he believed he had seen the very same chicken several times. Richard said the dead chicken outside the spirit house that morning had a dark mark on the right side of its upper beak, just below its comb. He said the chicken the birdman had pointed out had the same mark. Richard hadn't made the connection until later. He said the chicken waiting above the door to where Junie's body lay had the same mark on the side of its beak. He said none of the chickens in the three buildings had such a mark. Kaylin pointed out the chickens pecked at the ground all the time, and it was raining and muddy, so it was probably dirt. Moreover, dirt and such was probably on the beaks of more than one bird. It simply washed off as they were being carried through the rain to the buildings. The mud people were positive they had collected every chicken in the village, so the chicken for which he was searching had to be one of the chickens in the three buildings. Richard had no answer for that. She asked why this one chicken, risen from the dead, would have been following them around all day. To what purpose? Richard had no answer for that either. Kaylin realized she hadn't been very supportive. She knew Richard was not given to flights of fancy. His persistence wasn't really bullheaded, nor was it meant to rile her. She should have listened more receptively, more tenderly. She was his wife. If he couldn't count on her, then who? No wonder he hadn't been in the mood to make love to her. But a chicken. Kaylin pushed open the door to be greeted by a sodden gust. Kara had gone to bed. The hunters protecting the spirit house spotted her and rushed over to gather around. All their eyes stared up at her candlelit face floating in the rainy darkness. Their glistening bodies materialized like apparitions whenever lightning crackled. "Which way did Richard go?" she asked. The men blinked dumbly. "Richard," she repeated. "He is not inside. He left a while ago. Which way did he go?" One of the men looked at all his fellows, checking before he spoke. All had given him a shake of their heads. "We saw no one. It is dark, but still, we would see him if he came out." Kaylin sighed. "Maybe not. Richard was a woods guide. The night is his element. He can make himself disappear in the dark the same way you could disappear in the grass." The men nodded with this news, not the least bit dubious. "Then he is out here, somewhere, but we do not know where. Sometimes Richard with the temper can be like a spirit. He is like no man we have ever seen before." Kaylin smiled to herself. Richard was a rare person, the mark of a wizard. The hunters one time had taken him to shoot arrows, and he had astonished them by ruining all the arrows he shot. He put them in the center of the target, one on top of the other, each splitting apart the one before. Richard's gift guided his arrows, though he didn't believe it. He thought it simply a matter of practice and concentration. Calling the target was how he termed it. He said he called the target to him, letting everything else vanish, and when he felt the arrow find that singular spot in the air, he loosed it. He could do it in a blink. Kaelin had to admit that when he taught her to shoot, she could sometimes feel what he meant. What he had taught her had even once saved her life. Even so, she knew magic was involved. The hunters had great respect for Richard. Shooting arrows was only part of it. It was hard not to have respect for Richard. If she said he could be invisible, they had no reason to doubt it. It had almost started out very badly. At the first meeting out on the plains, when Kaelin had brought him to the Mud People, Richard had misunderstood the greeting of a slap and had clouted Savidlin, one of their leaders. By doing so, he had inadvertently honored their strength and made a valuable friend, but had also earned him the name Richard with the Temper. Kaelin wiped rainwater from her face.
All right, I want to find him. She signaled off into the darkness. Each of you, go a different way. If you find him, tell him I want him. If you don't see him, meet back here after you have looked in your direction, and we will go off in new places until we find him. They started to object, but she told them she was tired and wanted to get back to bed, and she wanted her new husband with her. She pleaded with them to just please help her or she would search alone. It occurred to her that Richard was doing that very thing, searching alone because no one believed him. Reluctantly, the men agreed and scattered in different directions, vanishing into the darkness. Without cumbersome boots, they didn't have the time she did navigating the mud. Kaelin pulled off her boots and tossed them back by the door to the spirit house. She smiled to herself at having outwitted that much of the mud. There were any number of women back in Adendrill, from nobility to officials to wives of officials, who, if they could have seen the Mother Confessor at that moment, barefoot, ankle-deep in mud and soaked to the skin, would have fainted. Kaelin slopped out into the mud, trying to imagine if Richard would have any method to his search. Richard rarely did anything without reason. How would he go about searching the entire village by himself in the dark? Kaelin reconsidered her first thought that he was searching for the chicken. Maybe he realized that the things she, Zed, and Anne said made sense. Maybe he wasn't looking for a chicken. But then what was he doing out in the middle of the night? Rain pelted her scalp, running down her neck and back, making her shiver. Her long hair, which she had so laboriously dried and brushed, was now again loaded with water. Her shirt clung to her like a second skin, a miserably cold one. Where would Richard have gone? Kaelin paused and held up the candle. Junie. Maybe he went to see Junie. She felt a stab of heartache. Maybe he had gone to look at the dead baby. He might have wanted to go grieve for both. That would be something Richard would do. He might have wanted to pray to the good spirits on behalf of the two souls new to the spirit world. Richard would do that. Kaelin walked under an unseen streamlet of icy cold runoff from a roof, gasping as it caught her in her face, dousing the front of her. She pulled back wet strands of hair and spat some out of her mouth as she moved on. Having to hold up the candle in the frigid rain was numbing her fingers. She searched carefully in the dark, trying to tell exactly where she was, to confirm she was going the right way. She found a familiar low wall with three herb pots. No one lived anywhere near. They were the herbs grown for the evil spirits housed not far away. She knew the way from there. A little farther and then around a corner she found the door to the house for the dead. Fumbling with unfeeling fingers, she located the latch. The door, swollen in the rain, stuck enough to squeak. She stepped through the doorway and eased closed the door behind her. Richard? Richard, are you in here? No answer. She held up the candle. With her other hand she covered her nose against the smell. She could taste the stink on her tongue. Light from her candle's little window fell across the platform with the tiny body. She stepped closer, wincing when she felt a hard bug pop under her bare foot. But the tragedy lying there on the platform before her immediately deadened her care. The sight held her immobilized. Little arms were frozen in space. Legs were stiff, with just an inch of air under the heels. Tiny hands cupped open. Such wee little fingers seemed impossible. Kaelin felt a lump swell in her throat. She covered her mouth to stifle the unexpected cry for the might-have-been. The poor thing, the poor mother. Behind, she heard an odd repetitious sound. As she stared at the little lifeless form, she idly tried to make sense of the soft staccato smacking. It paused. It started. It paused again. She absently dismissed it as the drip of water. Unable to resist, Kaelin reached out.
She tenderly settled her finger into the cup of the tiny hand. Her single finger was all the palm would hold. She almost expected the fingers to close around hers, but they didn't. She stifled another sob, feeling a tear roll down her cheek. She felt so sorry for the mother. Kaylin had seen so much death, so many bodies. She didn't know why this one should affect her so, but it did. She broke down and wept over the unnamed child. In the lonely house for the dead, her heart poured out for this life unlived, this vessel delivered into the world without a soul. The sound behind at last intruded sufficiently that she turned to see what disturbed her prayer to the good spirits. Kaylin gasped in her sob with a backward cry. There, standing on Junie's chest, was a chicken. It was pecking out Junie's eyes. Chapter 10 Kaylin wanted to chase the chicken away from the body, but she couldn't seem to make herself do so. The chicken's eye rolled to watch her as it pecked. Thwack, 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 thwack. That was the sound she had heard. Shoo! She flicked a hand out toward the bird. Shoo! It must have come for the bugs. That was why it was in there, for the bugs. Somehow she couldn't make herself believe it. Shoo! Leave him alone! Hissing, hackles lifting, the chicken's head rose. Kaylin pulled back. Its claws digging into stiff, dead flesh, the chicken slowly turned to face her. It cocked its head, making its comb flop, its wattles sway. Shoo! Kaylin heard herself whisper. There wasn't enough light, and besides, the side of its beak was covered with gore, so she couldn't tell if it had the dark spot, but she didn't need to see it. Dear spirits, help me, she prayed under her breath. The bird let out a slow chicken cackle. It sounded like a chicken, but in her heart she knew it wasn't. In that instant, she completely understood the concept of a chicken that was not a chicken. This looked like a chicken, like most of the Mud People's chickens, but this was no chicken. This was evil, manifest. She could feel it with visceral certitude. This was something as obscene as death's own grin. With one hand, Kaylin wrung her shirt closed at her throat. She was jammed so hard back against the platform with the baby's body, she wondered if she might topple the solid, mortared mass. Her instinct was to lash out and touch the vile thing with her confessor's power. Her magic destroyed forever the essence of a person, creating in the void a total and unqualified devotion to the confessor. In that way, those condemned to death truthfully confessed their heinous crimes, or their innocence. It was an ultimate means of witnessing the veracity of justice. There was no immunity to the touch of a confessor. It was as absolute as it was final. Even the most maniacal murderer had a soul, and so was vulnerable. Her power, her magic, was also a weapon of defense. But it would only work on people. It would not work on a chicken, and it would not work on wickedness incarnate. Her gaze flicked toward the door, checking the distance. The chicken took a single hop toward her. Claws gripping Junie's upper arm, it leaned her way. Her leg muscles tightened till they trembled. The chicken backed a step, tensed, and spurted feces onto Junie's face. It let out the cackle that sounded like a laugh. She dearly wished she could tell herself she was being silly, imagining things, but she knew better. Much as her power would not work to destroy this thing, she sensed, too, that her ostensible size and strength were meaningless against this thing. Far better, she thought, just to get out. More than anything, that was what she wanted, out. A fat brown bug scurried up her arm. She let out a clipped cry as she smacked it off. She shuffled a step toward the door. The chicken leaped off Junie, landing before the door. Kaylin frantically tried to think as the chicken bawk, bawk, bawked. It pecked up the bug she had flicked off her arm. After downing the bug, it turned to look up at her, its head cocking this way, then that, its wattles swinging. Kaylin eyed the door. She tried to reason how best to get out. Kick the chicken out of the way? Try to frighten it away from the door. Ignore it, and try to walk past it. She remembered what Richard said. Junie spat at the honor of whatever killed that chicken. Not long after, Junie died. I threw a stick at the chicken in the window, and not long after, it attacked that little boy. It was my fault. Unji got clawed. I don't want to make the same mistake again. She didn't want to make that mistake. This thing could fly at her face, scratch her eyes out, use its spur to tear open the carotid artery at the side of her neck, bleed her to death. who knew how strong it really was, what it might be able to do. Richard had been adamant about everyone being courteous to the chickens. Suddenly, Kaylin's life or death hung on Richard's words. Only a short time before, she had thought them foolish. Now she was weighing her chances, marking her choices by what Richard had said.
"Oh, Richard," she implored in a whisper, "forgive me."
She felt something on her toes. A quick glance was not enough in the dim light to see for sure, but she thought she saw bugs crawling over her feet. She felt one scurry up her ankle, up under her pant leg. She stamped her foot. The bug clung tight. She bent to swat at the thing under her pant leg. She wanted it off. She smacked too hard, squashing it against her shin. She straightened in a rush to swipe at things crawling in her hair. She yelped when a centipede bit the back of her hand. She shook it off. As it hit the floor, the chicken plucked it up and ate it. With a flap of wings, the chicken suddenly sprang back up on top of Junie. Claws working with luxuriant excess, it turned slowly atop the body to peer at her. One black eye watched with icy interest. Kaylin slipped one foot toward the door.
"Mother,"
the chicken croaked. Kaylin flinched with a cry. She tried to slow her breathing. Her heart hammered so hard it felt like her neck must be bulging. Flesh scraped from her fingers as they gripped at the rough platform behind. It must have made a sound that sounded like the word mother. She was the mother confessor and was used to hearing the word mother. She was simply frightened and had imagined it. She yelped again when something bit her ankle. Flailing at a bug running under her shirt sleeve, she accidentally swatted the candle off the platform behind her. It hit the dirt floor with a clink. In an instant, the room fell pitch black. She spun around, scraping madly at something wriggling up between her shoulder blades under her hair. By the weight and the squeak, it had to be a mouse. Mercifully, as she twisted and whirled about, it was flung off. Kaylin froze. She tried to hear if the chicken had moved, if it had jumped to the floor. The room was dead silent, except for the rapid whooshing of her heart in her ears. She began shuffling toward the door. As she scuffed through the fetid straw, she dearly wished she had worn her boots. The stench was gagging. She didn't think she would ever feel clean again. She didn't care, though, if she could just get out alive. In the dark, the chicken thing let out a slow chicken cackle laugh. It hadn't come from where she expected the chicken to be. It was behind her.
"Please, I mean no harm," she called into the darkness. "I mean no disrespect. I will leave you to your business now, if that's all right with you."
She took another shuffling step toward the door. She moved carefully, slowly, in case the chicken thing was in the way. She didn't want to bump into it and make it angry. She mustn't underestimate it. Kaylin had, on any number of occasions, thrown herself with ferocity against seemingly invincible foes. She knew well the value of a resolute, violent attack. But she also somehow knew beyond doubt that this adversary could, if it wanted, kill her as easily as she could wring a real chicken's neck. If she forced a fight, this was one she would lose. Her shoulder touched the wall. She slid a hand along the plastered mud brick, groping blindly for the door. It wasn't there. She felt along the wall in each direction. There was no door. That was crazy. She had come in through the door. There had to be a door. The chicken thing let out a whispering cackle. Sniffling back tears of fright, Kaylin turned and pressed her back to the wall. She must have gotten confused when she turned around, getting the mouse off her back. She was turned around, that was all. The door hadn't moved. She was just turned around. Then, in which direction was the door? Her eyes were open as wide as they would go, trying to see in the inky darkness. A new terror stabbed into her thoughts. What if the chicken thing pecked her eyes out? What if that was what it liked to do, peck out eyes? She heard herself sobbing in panic. Rain leaked through the grass roof. When it dripped on her head, she flinched. Lightning struck again. Kaylin saw the light come through the wall to the left. No, it was the door. Light was coming in around the edge of the door. Thunder boomed. Frantic, she raced for the door. In the dark, she caught the edge of a platform with a hip. Her toes slammed into the brick corner. Reflexively, she grabbed at the stunning pain. Hopping on her other foot to keep her balance, she came down on something hard. Burning pain seared her foot. She grasped for a handhold, recoiling when she felt the hard little body under her hand. She went down with a crash. Cursing under her breath, she realized she had stepped on the hot candle holder. She comforted her foot. It hadn't really burned her. Her frantic fear made her envision hot metal burning her. Her other foot, though, bled from smacking the brick. Halen took a deep breath. She must not panic, she admonished herself, or she would not be able to help herself. No one else was going to get her out of here. She had to gather her senses and stay calm enough to escape the house of the dead. She took another breath. All she had to do was reach the door, and then she would be able to leave. She would be safe. She felt the floor ahead as she inched forward on her belly. The straw was damp, whether from the rain or from the foul things draining from the platform, she didn't know. She told herself the mud people respected the dead. They would not leave filthy straw in there. It must be clean. Then why did it stink so? With great effort, Kaylin ignored the bugs skittering over her. When her concentration on remaining silent wandered, she could hear little pules escape her throat. With her face right at the floor, she saw the next lightning flash under the door. It wasn't far. She didn't know where the chicken had gone. She prayed it would go back to pecking at Junie's eyes. With the next flash of lightning, she saw chicken feet standing between her and the crack under the door. The thing wasn't more than a foot from her face.